The following is intended only for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. In the shadowed corners of the world, where the thin veil between our reality and the unknown quivers, stories emerge that challenge the confines of our beliefs. Welcome, motherfuckers, to another episode of Anthology of Horror, where the tales of the eerie, the unexplained, and the outright unnerving come to play in the dark theater of your imagination. I am your host, Spring-Heeled Jack, the guardian of your nocturnal wanderings through the world of fear and fascination. Today's gathering around our so-called digital campfire is one for the annals of Anthology of Horror history, for we are not alone in the studio of shadows. Joining us today is the renowned Sam Stoutman, whose pen has birthed the captivating Pirates and Scallywags trilogy, a saga that has ensnared the hearts of adventure and mystery lovers alike. Sam's tales, rich with the lore of high seas and the whispers of forgotten curses, provide a perfect segue into our night's theme. But the gathering would not be complete without the master of the macabre, Scary Jerry, whose voice has chilled the spine of listeners from his eerie abode all the way in Wyoming. Together we form a trio of terror, ready to delve into the depths of one of the internet's most terrible corners, and that is, of course, Reddit. Tonight we embark on a good old-fashioned Reddit ghost story roast. We'll sift through tales of so-called spectral encounters, haunted homes, and entities that lurk in the corner of our world, seeking those stories that provoke, perplex, petrify, and annoy. But fear not, for we shall also light the dark with our humor, roasting these ghostly tales over the embers of our biting wit and skepticism. So dim the lights, draw closer, and let's peel back the layers of reality as we embark on this journey through the ghost stories of Reddit, armed with the insight of Sam Stoutman and the chilling commentary of Scary Jerry. Prepare for an episode where the paranormal meets the panel, and the truths of the other side are met with a dose of derision and debate. Without further ado, let the Reddit ghost story roast begin. Dumb Polish music.
Outrageous, the disrespect. All right, dear listeners, this opening tale is called Three Knocks on the Door. Usually that means the police, but not this time. This time it is a tale of horror and oddness. Let's dive in.
Yes.
I grew up in a very haunted house. It must have been very haunted because they said very haunted. And met my boyfriend, who is now my husband, at age 17. We bought a house a couple of years later, which
must
is now...
be nice.
So clearly this is not a current story.
No.
So our current house, which we've been living in ever since, and now have two preteen daughters. This is relevant, as a lot, even though they misspelled that, of activity started up again when I was pregnant with my first child 12 years ago.
There's a lot of math hoops that I don't want to jump through already with this story.
Yeah, I there's a lot of details in there that really could have been left out, but on we go. My daughter was only days old, and I was putting her in her cot when all of the sudden I felt something shove my back.
Take that, bitch.
That was really the actual text.
I wonder if it was a big something or a little
something. Oh, scandalous. After turning around, nothing was there. So I shook it off as only being in my head. Before this happened, and before I was pregnant, I did notice that when I was in bed, I sometimes felt like something touched my back. Or leg. But again, I thought I must be imagining things, or your boyfriend was messing with you. A month or so passed, and it was around 4 a.m., and all of a sudden, the telly came on downstairs. The telly! Apparently, we're in England. At full volume, playing the beginning of Lady Gaga's Poker Face. That's probably your husband. And no, we don't need to read the lyrics. We know how it goes. I raced downstairs to turn it off, as I didn't want my daughter to wake up, so you thundering down the stairs is going to help. First of all, I rarely watch music on the telly. That's not true, I bet. So the telly turned on to a music channel was odd, and I found it strange. It was right at the beginning of the song, and somehow the volume was at full blast. I said out loud when I went downstairs. Oh, she's referring to what she just said. This is very poorly written, dear readers or dear listeners. Anyway, I turned it off, and I was very annoyed, but I was not scared. I did enjoy a butt of Lady Gaga. I do believe that was supposed to be written as a bit, but it is written as a butt of Lady Gaga.
Who doesn't enjoy it?
Exactly. And listen to all sorts of her music on my phone, on my speakerphone when doing my cleaning. Wow, this is very challenging to read. When my daughter was about 1 year old, so apparently now we're just jumping. That was the end of that. When my daughter was about 1 year old, I was pregnant with my second daughter now. She woke up and started crying hysterically and pointing in the corner of her bedroom. I comforted her and was saying in my head, "Leave her alone," hoping if there was something there, it would simply go away because you're telepathically communicating with it.
Mm.
I sat by her cot until she went back to sleep. Then as I went into my bedroom, the baby monitor picked up a voice saying, "Shh," which is, I believe, ghost for "F you, lady." I rushed back into her room, but she was sleeping soundly. I went back into the bed and rang my husband, who worked nights, and told him what happened. He reassured me and said his favorite motto is, "Don't acknowledge it. It will make it worse." That's the worst fucking motto I've ever heard in my life.
Maybe that's how he gets along with his wife.
Oh,
he just ignores her just when he doesn't like it.
I'm going to read that one more time for your enjoyment. His favorite motto, "Don't acknowledge it. It'll just make it worse."
I have that tattooed on my lower back.
Here we go. So I went back to sleep feeling very alert and freaked out. That's a good way to fall asleep.
Mm.
My second daughter came along, but she has only on what? But she has only had the occasional three knocks on her bedroom door. My other daughter, who is now nearly 13, is sensitive like me. I think as she continues to have more strange encounters. Going back to when my first daughter was about 4 years old, this lady is just jumping all over the place with this story.
It's like a Common Core math problem.
Right? There is absolutely no continuity to this story. Hopefully we're almost at the end.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Going back to when my first daughter was about 4 years old, she said some things that really freaked me out. But I played it cool, not wanting to scare her.
Don't acknowledge it.
Exactly. It'll only make it worse. She screamed about a hand coming down in front of her face. A second instance at this age was about an old woman in the corner of her bedroom. This really freaked me out, as I remember the instance when she was about 1 year old. From that day on, she slept with her door open, and her bedroom light had a dimmer switch so we could keep that on at a very dim level. Another creepy instance.
Oh my God.
This is just seriously, when will this end? Another creepy instance was when I was in the kitchen tidying up. When the kids were in bed, and I was speaking to my husband whilst he was working, and one of the girls' toddler chairs did a complete 180 turn. I stopped speaking and looked in shock, trying to work out rationally how it was moving on its own. I told my husband, who just played it down, of course. Don't acknowledge it. Husband's got it sorted out, apparently. Fast forward to about 6 months ago, and everyone experiences knocks on the door upstairs, but me, and no one is there. My husband was in the bathroom and had it happen to him once, but he ignored it. My youngest had it happen on the bedroom door, and my oldest has it more often to this day, but just not all the time. It happens to her more when it's late at night, when me and my husband are downstairs, my youngest is asleep. It is always three knocks on the door. Always three knocks on the door. The first time my daughter was in... Okay, she's just repeating herself mm-hmm. now. Yeah, we get it. I did a Google search, and it said you shouldn't ask who is there. Too late for that, as it's an invitation to the spirit. Should have listened to the husband. Sorry, this is long. Yes, it was, and out of sequence.
Mm-hmm.
No, you will not add a separate post, and we will not read it. Thank goodness that is the end of the story.
Oh, now she believes they're shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one I deleted the title on, but I've taken it upon myself to name it Generic Dumbass Story. I was up at 3:50 a.m. on my phone and decided to put it down and go to sleep. Not even 5 minutes later, I hear shuffling upstairs outside my door, and for some reason, I decide to grab my knife, because it was a little too weird at this time.
Yeah.
Laying in bed. You're going to knife fight a ghost?
Yep. He's ready.
Oh, that's always the best way.
Oh, yeah. YOLO.
God damn it. Laying in bed, my door slowly opens super quietly, and I ask, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Thinking it was my roommate, and he replies, oh, nothing. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell you I've heard that voice anywhere ever. All I saw was a hooded black figure. He slowly cracks my door back, but he doesn't close it, so I'm freaking the fuck out. I shoot up out of bed to open it, and he's gone. Cleared the upstairs, and so I cleared the upstairs.
With a knife.
Fucking Call of Duty, bitch. And saw our front door was open, still when I went downstairs. The only other roommate who didn't lock his door was wide open. He closed it before he went to sleep, too. Nothing was stolen. Why he would be coming into our house? Thank God nothing happened, but it just doesn't make sense. About a month ago, I'm assuming the same person opened our front door and took off after seeing us awake. Doors will be overly locked from now on. Haha, had to repost this.
Overly locked?
Overly locked.
That not just be, locked.
That had to be like a crackhead or something, just looking around their house.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or just like, fucking made up.
Or just made up. That's probably more likely the truth.
You got one for us, Jerry?
Yes, I do. My encounter stories. I've had three cryptid encounters in my life so far.
God damn it.
My first encounter with something I believe to be from beyond my comprehension was on a backpacking trip in Utah. Must have been Mormons. Mm-hmm. I was attending an outdoor program where we spent many months on end completely submersed deep in the wilderness of southern Utah.
Mm.
My first odd experience was a series of glowing orbs I watched dance and drift across the canyon from me late one night. The orbs appeared sentient and glowing, almost like stars in the sky. I watched these objects very clearly move almost intentionally behind rocks and trees. At first, I assumed it was another person with a headlamp. I quickly dismissed this thought after considering where I was at the moment and the erratic, unexplained movement of these orbs. This is something I'd come to experience several times over the course of my time in Utah. These encounters were not fear-invoking and rather peaceful to watch, although they would make your hair stand up if you'd watch and you'd watch your back a little closer.
Yeah.
My second experience happened at a farm I was working on for the summer.
It's already funny. Oh,
brace yourself.
Squeal, piggy.
Located on a small island about 10 miles off the coast of mainland.
That's even worse.
I was driving down a slow back road one night with a friend, and we pulled off to have a smoke, and we sat and we watched something rustling in the brushes, but I don't think much of it because there were many cattle and animals about the island. I'm wondering what kind of island this is.
Mm.
In Utah?
No, this is somewhere else.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It soon appeared and was a simple deer like we see every day. It remained in our view for quite some time and appeared possibly injured on its neck. Still nothing too out of the ordinary. What happened after this is what leads me to count this as a cryptid encounter. After we watched this deer for some time, it quickly turned to look at something in the distance and shot up on its rear legs and sprinted off into the bushes with ease. While absolutely horrifying, I chalk this up to an injured animal that was using its rear legs like this out of adrenaline, yet still does not at all satisfy what I saw that night. That fucking makes no sense.
Oh, dear. No.
But I have heard a lot of stories, if you get into these cryptid subreddits and whatnot, that talk about, I believe they're called not deer, That's what they
call. They need a better name than that.
Right? But they're deer that look like deer, but they don't act like deer. And there's a lot of stories about that where they'll stand up on their hind legs and walk across the road.
Smoking a cigarette, waving to you.
Smoking a cigarette, morning. Waving to you. Morning.
How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
How about this weather?
I'm gonna leave a $5 bill on the nightstand. Please don't mention this. My third encounter to date is my strangest and most unsettling. I was attending a folk school as a much younger man in Svalbard, Norway. One weekend, a group of friends and I visited a remote fishing village where one of them had a family cabin. There were a few other houses in the area and the normal locals that my friends seemed to be aware of. This region of Norway has a lot of old-style Norwegians who speak an uncommon dialect of the language. Me, being an international student at the time, had no hope of understanding them. Even my Norwegian peers could barely communicate with them. One night, while returning from checking crab pots, we ran into a friendly-seeming elderly man dressed like he was in a medieval reenactment, who approached us with a smile. Jesus, this person does not know how to use punctuation. Mm. I stood back and let my friends interact as I could not participate in the conversation due to the language barrier. Really? He didn't speak in Norwegian that he doesn't know? Weird. He spoke what sounded exactly like Norwegian, yet nobody in the group, filled with native-born Norwegians, could understand a lick of what he was saying. I assumed he was possibly speaking Swedish, which is roughly the same. Jesus, that's like saying Portuguese and Spanish are roughly the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you they get people angry about that.
Yeah. Norwegians.
But I was told that couldn't be the case. I know a fair amount of European languages to varying extents, and so did the people I was with, yet none of us could pick up on a single word or phrase or anything. But the man kept speaking. At this point, it was almost apparent that he knew we couldn't understand him, but he didn't care. We walked away and thought to ourselves, wow, that guy was nuts. Hopefully the man can find some sanity.
No.
This was...
He's a cryptid?
Yeah, I guess so. He's a native-speaking Norwegian that doesn't speak Norwegian.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess cryptid standards lower every day.
This was the obvious thought process after such an interaction. However, this was not the end of our encounters.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Over the next week, we would see this man almost every evening, quickly navigating the rock terrain of the shoreline. He moved with an unnatural prowess for any human being, yet alone, such an old, decrepit man.
Rude.
Disrespect.
Yeah, time comes for all of us, you fucking right? Asshole.
I found this odd, but didn't bother saying anything, as there's plenty of old fit dudes there. Things became undeniable after an encounter we had almost a week after the first. A small group of us had taken sea kayaks up the fjord.
Mm.
Fjords.
Mm.
Fjords. I always liked Chevy's better.
Yes. Mm.
For an overnight trip before we had to return to school. We paddled about 30 kilometers up the fjord. That's such a fucking weird word.
It is. Just a dumbass spelling that makes me laugh when I think about it.
From the village the first day to a beautiful beach where we tied up each other and I'm just kidding. Where we tied up the boats and hiked up to a shelter where we could cook and pitch tents.
So it's like a primitive skills type of school.
I guess so.
That's cool.
But I doubt it because they're in kayaks.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, maybe they're got man buns. Who knows?
Oh.
As the sun set over the fjord, we watched as we had every night before. Almost like clockwork, we saw the same man scurrying with unnatural speed across the rocks coming right towards us. No boat in sight. This is an island region with no roads or bridges, only accessible by boat. The man kept his pace towards us and breezed right by without acknowledging us. The overwhelming feeling of freezing cold air I felt when he moved by is unlike anything I have ever felt. I am feeling it just typing this out.
Oh my God.
You're in northern Norway. Of course it's freezing.
They're kind of known for that, aren't they?
Well, yes. I mean, aren't there sandy beaches in Norway?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
At the bottom of the fjord.
The F-jord.
The F-jord. Oh, I lost my spot. His ability to seemingly move unbound by the laws of time and physics.
Oh, my God.
And his language imitation gibber and strange looks is enough for me to call this a cryptid.
Ugh.
Whatever this was, it wasn't human. At this point, all of us recognized that something wasn't right. We slept. And left the next morning back for the village. When we returned, we brought up our experience with family, friends, and friends of friends. They had no knowledge or recollection of this man. Nobody had ever seen him before. At this point, we were properly shaken and ready to leave. We packed our things at the cabin and loaded onto the boat. As we pulled around the first bend in the fjord, hugging the shore, we see again, you guessed it, our old pal standing on the shore and staring dead at us.
Yes.
I decided I'd spill all this out into words before I forget, so it's just a run-on thought. If anyone has experienced similar events or has any explanations I haven't thought of, that's why I'm posting this. So yeah, cool.
It's an old man trying to greet you and proud of where he lives.
Right. In an ancient dialect, wearing a suit of armor. That happens all the time.
Of course. Europe. Totally normal.
Ugh. Let's take a music break.
And we are back. This next story is titled Man with a Knife.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Long story. Bear with me. I was camping with my boyfriend's family. It was me, my boyfriend, his brother, and his brother's friend, and we went to a lake about 12 minutes from our campsite. I was blowing up an inner tube when some guy with a bicycle laid down on a beach near me, totally naked. No, that wasn't right. No big deal. He was just resting. Yeah, that's how it always starts. So us four get in the water. I noticed 30 minutes later, the man with the bike is now up and muttering to himself while looking at us. Yep, that's how it starts.
Mm.
Eventually, the guy started yelling incoherently at us and was getting closer. Oh, sounds like my neighborhood.
Mm.
My boyfriend gets out of the water and walks past the guy to get to our car to grab a football. Yeah. Play a little catch with the guy. He seems decent. We thought the guy was on his phone. Turns out the guy was talking about drowning a family with a little girl that was also at the lake, so not on his phone. My boyfriend calls his parents. We all get out of the water once he tells us what's going on. The guy starts coming closer to us, then turning back, then coming closer, then turning back. Sounds like somebody I used to know at one of my old jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He does this for 6 minutes. Then comes over to us, talking crazy, like how he's going to kill us for coming here. My boyfriend tells him to go away, brah. That's when we see the machete on his belt. How did you miss a machete? Okay.
Maybe it was a little machete.
Mm. A mini machete.
Are you machete shaming?
I'm just saying that's usually something that you notice when a person is walking back and forth if they were having a machete on them. But maybe it was on the other side where he wasn't pacing. So, we see the machete on his belt. While talking to my boyfriend, his demeanor changed. And he says, yeah, I respect you. No problem. And he walks away.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Yo, boyfriend, like getting it done. We would have to pass him, however, to get to the car. so we were wary of leaving. But of course, a minute later, he starts coming right back. Yep, that's also how it works. Finally, my boyfriend's family shows up, and so does a cop, just randomly. Okay, sure.
This must not be anywhere that cops actually show up.
I would imagine not. So the cop goes, "Hey, Chad, what are you doing here?" Talking about the crazy guy. Turns out he was high out of his mind and drunk. Wait, the crazy guy or the cop?
The cop. Oh, that had to be the cop.
Definitely okay. The cop.
Okay. Glad we got that settled. Turns out he was high out of his mind and drunk, and this wasn't his first encounter with the cops. Oh, surprise twist. It was the crazy guy. The cops, now it's plural, okay? The cops got him and took the knife away, which was on a belt that was apparently holding his pants up, because that's when we all got flashed.
Nice.
And the story, he had no underwear on. I know, you just said he was flashing you. We got home safe, but being cornered by a crazy man with a knife is not fun.
Now, let me get this straight. This dude did not brandish the knife. He just had a knife.
He had a machete on his belt with nothing else. Apparently. And that is the story of the man with the knife by the lake, dear listeners. Yeah.
How do you get cornered at a lake?
It is very difficult. Special. Special, folks.
Maybe it was a fjord.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Actually, the next one's yours, too.
Oh, seahorses. Angry ghost? ? All right, dear listeners, here we go. What I'm about to tell you all is probably a bit too unbelievable to the point you might not even think it's true.
Oh, no.
And I saw this page on Reddit and I had to join. I've had one too many experiences and I'm wanting to share what happened and seeing if anyone's been through similar things.
If you want people to believe your story, don't preface it with saying, "You're never going to believe this."
Exactly. Here's the really, really true story of what really, really happened.
You're never going to believe it, but it really happened.
I promise.
Exactly. Well, this really happened. This happened around 5 years ago. It occurred at my grandmother's house. I don't particularly get along with my grandma. Never really have. Even when I was really young, so I would never talk to her. Wow, you're a real charming fella. When my mom took me there, he did misspell that badly, which was really rare because I'd throw a tanty if I knew I was going there.
This has to be another Englishman.
Oh, good grief. Even now I would. I would throw a tanty, even now. Nan's house was most definitely haunted. No doubt in my mind, some crazy stuff going down there before. And her house felt always cold and unsafe. So I'd throw a tanty. Mom had taken me there after a doctor's appointment once. The house is small, really old. Only my uncle and Nan live there together. Mom had paperwork online to fill out. Meanwhile, me and my Nan were in the lounge doing our best at ignoring each other's existence. A loving family. My mom.
Those are the best. Kind.
Oh, yes. Just sitting there in the room pretending staring the other person other isn't there.
Sounds like a family reunion at my house.
Sharing family time together. Sounds like a story I once wrote.
You think Prince Harry wrote this?
It's possible. Let's see where it goes. We'll find out. So, my mom was at the dinner table grabbing her laptop that she's had since she was 16. Wow, that is an old laptop.
Maybe he's 8.
And that's true. She also had a rotary phone. Yes. Mom was doing her own thing, and then Nan started talking to her about some drama with my auntie. And then Nan started treating Mom like shit, like she's done to my mom her whole childhood. 5 minutes after her screaming, there was a loud slam. It was the door that goes to the laundry from the kitchen. No one saw, but we all heard it. There was this weird feeling, like a vibe that someone or something was pissed off. Sounds like everybody's pissed off in this story.
Especially the Irish.
And here always. But we ignored the bang. Oh, it's following the other guy's motto.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect.
Stuff it down and ignore it.
That's the English way.
That's the English way. Here we go. We ignored the bang from the door, and there was a window that opened. Sorry. My cord is cording. That is not part of the story, dear listener. Let us return to where we were. But we ignored the bang from the door as if there was a window open that slammed the door shut. Suddenly, Mom's laptop went fucking flying across the room. The English say bloody, but okay. Fucking flying across the room. All of us were just there shitting ourselves. Wow, I think that whole sentence deserves to be said again. Suddenly, the story's picking up. Suddenly, Mom's laptop went fucking flying across the room. All of us were just sitting there shitting ourselves.
Why were the... Do the English normally just sit in living rooms shitting themselves?
Apparently, when laptops go fucking flying, they do.
I think they have shitting boxes behind their palaces.
There we go. It didn't smash or anything. It just stopped working. So it didn't go flying. Anyway. And she even tried getting it fixed after all of this. And they said there was nothing wrong, but it just wouldn't turn on. And now, that's because
it's broken.
10 years old and finally fucking died. That's what happened.
It was, before they made MacBooks, it was a Apple book.
Yeah, you got the blue screen of death and it finally just died. That's what happened.
Yep.
Yeah. So, it just wouldn't turn on, and now she holds on to it. Not sure why, because, like, it doesn't work. And now it's like, oh, my God. I don't know why she holds on to it, because it, like, doesn't work.
Mom's a hoarder.
Oh, apparently.
Mom's got stuff on that hard drive that no repairman needs to see.
I'm just going to put it in the back of the closet, and we'll never speak of it again.
The royal bush.
Yeah.
The royal bush.
My uncle then wakes up from the laptop being thrown, and he said something along the lines of, Mom, why the fuck is the plant pot in my room tipped over and everyone's screaming like someone died horrifically? No one said this.
Nah.
And we tell him everything that happened. I've only been in that house 3 times since then. She moved out about 3 months ago now. I reckon the house needs to be bulldozed. If anyone is interested or got anything to say, just let me know, X. And that's the end of a very strange and almost for surely totally false story, except for the 10-year-old laptop dying.
This next one is titled, Came Face to Face with a Murderer.
It's the royal.
Ooh, I'm so fancy. In 2002, when I was 16, my parents went on vacation. While they were gone, I stayed at my older sister, quote, Lisa's apartment, with her and my 8-year-old niece, quote, Sarah.
And this song was on loop.
I hope so. It was during fall break, so Sarah and I were out of school. Since it was only a 2-bedroom apartment, Lisa let me sleep in Sarah's room, and Sarah slept in Lisa's room with her. On this particular morning, Sarah and I both slept in. She was so excited that I was staying with them, she wanted to stay up all night watching Disney movies, so we did. Lisa had fallen asleep on the sofa, so I picked Sarah up and put her in Lisa's bed. Then I went to bed myself. The next morning, I woke up to a man's voice, Lisa's boyfriend, Gary. And he had a very recognizable deep voice, kind of like Vin Diesel.
That is not a deep voice.
Because Vin Diesel is known for his deep voice.
Yeah. This voice wasn't Gary's voice at all. This voice was an older man, and he sounded very agitated.
Angry Vin Diesel.
I guess. I went into the living room to see who was here, and I saw the man sitting on the love seat closest to the front door, and Lisa was sitting in a chair adjacent to the love seat. He looked to be in his 60s, and his shirt and jacket were nearly covered in blood splatter. She shot a fearful, surprised glance at me, as if she forgot I was there. The man stopped talking once he noticed Lisa had looked away from him. I made eye contact with him, and he smiled. Then he placed the gun that he was holding onto the coffee table in front of him. I couldn't move. I didn't know what to do. My first thought was to get between him and Lisa somehow, but I knew I had to stay where I was because he would have to get past me to get to the bedroom where Sarah was still sleeping.
Lisa should have grabbed the gun when he put it on.
When he set it on the table, right?
Obvious.
He disarmed himself for right. them.
I searched the man's face trying to figure out who he was. He looked familiar, but I couldn't place him. He broke the silence. "Hey, I didn't know anybody else was here. I'm Eddie, Gary's stepdad." I faked a smile and gave a weak wave. He took out a cigarette and lit it. Lisa was still sitting on the sofa, seemingly bracing herself for whatever Eddie had planned. Eddie motioned for me to sit down on the bigger sofa across from him. I did as he said. He took out a bag of weed and some rolling papers and began to roll a joint. "You smoke, youngster?" he asked me. Lisa spoke up. "No, he doesn't. That's my baby brother. He's only 16. Eddie laughed.
Because a 16-year-old obviously would never smoke pot.
No, no chance.
Eddie laughed, looked at Lisa, then at me, and said, "Damn, what the hell y'all feeding these kids? That's a big motherfucker." Lisa laughed nervously. Eddie joined her, seemingly unaware of how uncomfortable we were. Oh shit, I got sidetracked. Let me finish telling you what this bitch did, Lisa. Eddie went on to tell Lisa that he had just shot and killed a woman he knew because she stole $100 from him the previous night after he had passed out drunk at home.
Wow, that's not a lot of money.
That is a hooker story.
I was going to say, that dude's a pimp.
Yeah. He said he knew it was her because he had pistol-whipped Gary's mother and made her tell him who went through his wallet while he slept. That you're right, this is a pimp.
Bitch, give me my money!
He then told Lisa he regretted not killing Gary's mother because he felt like she had set him up. He said he'd also shot the woman's husband but was unsure if he was dead. He laughed and said he knew for sure the woman was dead because her head exploded like a watermelon.
Watermelon.
My stomach was in knots. I was sweating and I could no longer hide my fear. I heard Lisa's bedroom door open from where I sat. I saw Sarah walking across the hallway into the bathroom. Eddie looked in the direction of the hallway. "Damn, Lisa, who else is here?" Lisa spoke quickly. "It's Sarah. Please, Eddie. You know I don't allow smoking around her. Can you go to the patio with that?" Lisa's voice trembled. Eddie must have heard the fear in her voice because he replied, "Girl, what you scared of?" "I ain't gonna do nothing to you, you good people. I just wanted to come see you before I go. You know the police is probably looking for me by now, but I just couldn't leave without seeing my favorite Spades partner."
Eddie, what the fuck?
Eddie smiled as he stood up and gathered his bag of weed, the joint, and the gun. I heard the toilet flush and the sound of water running in the bathroom. I began to pray that Sarah wouldn't come out here before we left. Eddie must have read my thoughts because he said, "Don't worry, young blood.
Young blood.
I'm going to get on out of here before that baby can see me like this." Lisa and I both stood up as he walked to the door. Lisa opened the door for him and he walked out. We watched through the window as he got into his car and drove away. Lisa quickly grabbed the phone and called 911. Sarah came out of the bathroom and asked if the scary man was gone. Lisa said yes and hugged Sarah. Sarah began to tell me that she never liked Eddie because he acted strange and looked scary. When she heard his voice on her way to the bathroom, she stayed in there because she didn't want to come out and see him. I was pacing back and forth trying to process what had just happened. Lisa explained that Eddie was a drug addict and an alcoholic. Gary's mother had kicked him out, but he would keep popping up at her house. She was already aware that Eddie had attacked Gary's mother because Gary had called to tell her, though they didn't know he'd killed anybody when he came to Lisa's house. Eddie was arrested shortly after our encounter, and we had to talk to detectives.
Fucking pigs.
They told us the man he shot had died on the way to the hospital. It took years for me to forget the way he gleefully described killing that woman. He died in prison not long after he was convicted of the murders.
Wow. Yeah, that dude was a pimp.
Yeah.
That was a pimp story right there.
Had to have been a pimp. You got one for me, Jerry?
I do.
Beautiful.
Perhaps.
Mm.
There we go.
Ah.
My new neighbor keeps smiling.
Oh, neighbors. That's why
and
you shouldn't
I think
talk to
he might
neighbors.
Have done something horrible to the people who lived there.
Hmm.
Oh, this is a great way to start. My escape from my law firm job came in the form of a woman announcing her maternity leave at a bookstore, which gave me a chance to take her place, a chance to drown in the musty scent of old paper, getting reacquainted with the sun, and lose myself in the comforting rhythm of turning pages. But the transition from law firm life to bookstore life, it seemed, would require a difficult kind of adjustment.
Wait a minute. He left a job as a lawyer to work at a bookstore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Teach their own.
Send this story to Amir.
My first day working at the bookstore went pretty good. I manned the front desk, greeting customers and stamping receipts with a satisfying thwack. But after a while, the thrill of my new job wore off. God, how thrilling is working at a bookstore?
Very.
Stamping receipts is thrilling, sir.
And the dull ache in my feet began to throb. I shifted my weight, trying to find a comfortable position. When the bell above the door chimed, cha-ching,
ding.
A wave of relief washed over me as I looked up. There, standing in a huddle, were the Petersons.
Oh, no.
No, not the Petersons.
Those motherfuckers.
The kind, quiet people with three rambunctious kids.
Oh, yeah.
They lived directly across the street from me in my neighborhood. Seeing them felt like a warm breeze on a chilly day.
Unpleasant?
Mrs. Peterson, a woman whose smile could light up a room, beamed at me first. "Well, hello there," she exclaimed, her voice laced with surprise. "What a surprise to see you here." "Hey, Miss Peterson, it's good to see you and your family. What can I do for y'all? Y'all?"
"Welcome to working retail."
She gave me a big smile and said, "Well, I've been looking for a book written by Freda McFadden called The Inmate, and I was wondering if it was in stock."
Is that one of those horny airport lady books?
Maybe. The Inmate.
"Your flight has been delayed."
"I'm not entirely sure, but I can take a look for you." "That sounds good, love. Thank you." I lifted my weight from the counter, the dull ache in my feet momentarily forgotten. Walking to the towering shelves, I scanned the rows for the alphabetical section. Finding the F section,
yeah,
I ran my finger along the spines.
Ooh. All right, what's going on here?
That is very titillating.
Just the manager now he's doing this.
Searching for the name, Freda McFadden.
Oh, God.
Relief washed over me as I finally spotted it. A medium paperback titled The Inmate, nestled between a travel guide and a self-help book. What the hell? They're mixing fiction and nonfiction in this bookstore, I guess.
Assume yeah. They're going by author.
Apparently not doing anything with categories.
I grabbed the book and made my way back to the front desk. The Petersons were waiting, anticipation sparkling in Miss Peterson's eyes. With a dramatic ta-da, I presented the book, holding it up next to my face with a wide grin. Miss Peterson let out a surprised laugh, the sound a little brittle at the edges. "Oh, you scared me for a second there," she said, her gaze lingering a touch too long on the title. I placed the book on the counter and scanned the barcode on the back of the soft cover book. 1995, I said.
Jesus, that's a rip off.
Oh, hold on, I said that wrong. 1995. I said in my monotone, professional-sounding voice.
"I don't quite have it. Is there some other payment plan we can work out?"
"Hey, now."
I think they were taken from the till. That's why they were surprised when he came back. Right. Oh, you're back. And you're the book. That's great.
It's the strangest thing just happened. This guy came in here. I think he was on drugs and he stole all your money.
Oh, we were too scared to stop him. I'm glad you're back. Thanks for finding the book.
Miss Peterson handed me the money while her husband in the back, his eyebrows shooting up slightly as surprised by the $20 price tag. Mm. And he watched the exchange. Our hands brushed slightly as she handed me the money. And it sent a shiver down my spine.
What?
What are we reading here?
I'm not sure what's going on.
Her hands were cold. Thank you so much for the help, she said. Her family shuffled towards the door, their usual rambunctiousness replaced by a strange quiet. Then, as Miss Peterson reached the exit, she turned back, her gaze lingering me on. Wait a minute. Her hand... Nope, not what? Her hand. Her gaze lingering on me for a beat too long. See you around, neighbor. She said, a strange glint in her eyes. The end of my shift consisted of me restocking the shelves, dusting the spines of travel guides until they gleamed, and putting up colorful displays for the latest fantasy series. At 9 o'clock p.m., that's an oddly specific time, I was finally able to clock out. Grabbing my keys, I made my way to the door. The silence of the bookstore, a stark contrast to the usual daytime bustle. Opening the door, I stepped out into the cool night air. My car, a dented but reliable Toyota Corolla. Hey, I can attest to that fact. I have a Toyota that's missing like 3/4 of its body panels, and the trunk doesn't shut, but that thing still gets like 40 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice.
I've seen that car. It's missing so much but the body. Yeah. I thought it was a Dodge Neon.
Yeah, I sent you a picture of it. It was pretty crazy.
Wasn't this guy an executive before?
Yeah. Yeah, man. He was a lawyer. He was a lawyer.
And he's driving a dented old Ford
Toyota.
Toyota.
Hey.
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 They work great.
They do. Till they don't.
They run for like 800,000 miles.
That's a lot.
I've only ever gotten 306, but they run a long time.
There we go.
I inserted the keys and twisted and heard the familiar roar of the engine.
The roar of a four-cylinder?
Of his dented Toyota.
A welcome sound. Pulling into my driveway, exhaustion momentarily forgotten, I noticed a man across the street, perched on the Peterson's porch, swinging, his legs pumping back and forth for an unsettlingly rapid rhythm.
That would be Mr. Peterson.
An impossibly wide grin stretched across his face, the kind that didn't reach his eyes. He seemed far too awake and enthusiastic for the... What time is it? For the hour. It's got to be like, what, 9:10? His eyes gleaming with an unsettling intensity. What struck me odd was the absence of the Petersons' car in their driveway. Uh-oh. It was empty except for this strange man perched on their porch swing, grinning like a jack-o'-lantern carved with a rusty butter... Jesus Christ.
Unnecessary description.
Maybe they'd finally moved out.
Maybe.
Mrs. Peterson didn't want me to know.
I just need my smut book for the road, y'all.
But why so quickly and so suddenly? They've lived there for years. Their minivan, a permanent fixture in the driveway. If they moved out, then where was this new smiling neighbor's car? Did he not have one? I wanted to ask him about all of this, but something about his smile made me really uncomfortable. I fumbled with my house keys. His grin widened, and he gave me a boisterous wave, a gesture that felt more like a challenge than a greeting.
Yeah.
I plastered on a forced smile, unlocked my front door, and went inside. Tired after a long day at work, I took a hot shower that barely managed to wash away the chill that had settled beneath my skin.
Oh my God.
Exhausted, I skipped dinner and collapsed into bed, the image of the grinning man on the Peterson's porch flickering behind my eyelids.
The dude did one shift at a bookstore.
Right. Well, he's a lawyer. He's not used to working.
Collapsed. Collapsed with exhaustion.
I woke up the next morning, and relief flooded me as I remembered it was my day off. What kind of job do you get one day and then a day off?
Three-day weekend.
A whole day to myself to unwind and masturbate. No, it doesn't say masturbate. It just says unwind.
No. It was implied.
Fueling up on cold coffee and stale crackers, I flicked on the TV. And as I was watching, I suddenly remembered the strange neighbor and his unnerving wide smile. Springing up from the couch, I was drawn to the window in my bedroom. The one that offered a perfect line of sight to the Peterson's house across the street. A glance out the window revealed the sun fully risen, casting a warm glow on the street. My attention was drawn back to the man across the street. He was back on the porch. That unsettling grin still stretched across his face. A knot of unease tightened in my stomach. It wasn't the social awkwardness of being caught staring, but a deeper, more primal sense of disquiet. Like I'd witnessed something I shouldn't have. Something that hinted at a darkness lurking beneath the surface. I offered a weak wave and a strained smile, completely embarrassed that I'd just been caught staring at him through my window. He, his grin unwavering, waved back and then stood frozen, his gaze locked on me through my bedroom window. A shiver danced down my spine like a spider scuttling across my skin. Retreating further into my house, I pulled the curtains shut, the interaction leaving a foul taste in my mouth. The whole day I stayed glued to the couch watching Netflix. Time seemed to warp and twist, the hours melting away faster than I could keep track.
That's because you're just sitting on the couch watching Netflix. Mm-hmm.
A glance at my phone jolted me. 8 p.m. already. Just as I rose from the couch to get some food, a sudden loud pounding on the door shattered the silence. I jumped, startled by the unexpected noise, my heart hammering in my chest. Cautiously, I approached the door, peering through the peephole. A flash of red and blue light flickered in the hallway, instantly twisting my gut with a sickening dread. With a trembling hand, I unlocked the door. A stern-faced police officer stood on my doorstep, a sea of blue uniforms behind him. A bright yellow crime scene tape illuminated by the flashing squad cars stretched around the perimeter of the Peterson's property. Before I could even stammer a greeting, the officer spoke. His voice clipped in official. We're here concerning the residents across the street, the Petersons. Do you know when you last saw them?
I don't talk to cops.
Never heard of them. Don't know them.
Come back with a warrant, bitch.
I saw them a few days ago at the bookstore, I stammered. Okay, wait a minute. He saw them the day before. He's already lying to the cops.
That's how they get you.
Yep.
The weird grinning face he seen was actually his own in a mirror.
I want to hear it from the neighbor. I want to hear his perspective on this dude.
The next thing the officer said hit me like a punch to the face.
Yeah.
We regret to inform you that the Petersons were found stabbed to death in their home.
Now let me see that dick.
Stabbed to death? A chill ran down my spine. The image of the strange grinning man on their porch flashing in my mind. I swallowed hard. My voice barely a whisper. I saw a man on the Peterson's porch, I blurted out, the words tumbling from my lips before I could stop them, because you don't talk to cops.
Right.
The officer's brow furrowed, a flicker of confusion crossing his face. What man? We didn't find any other person there. His words sent a jolt through me. Doubt gnawed at me, the memory of the unsettling grin vivid in my mind. I stammered, unsure of what else to say. I don't know, I mumbled. feeling a wave of helplessness wash over me.
That's going to go over well with the police.
Talking yourself into a search warrant.
The officer sighed, his gaze lingering on me for a moment longer than necessary. This must not have been a criminal lawyer, otherwise he would not talk to the police.
No.
Look, he said, his voice softening slightly. If you see anything suspicious, anything at all, please call this number. He handed me a card with a precinct phone number printed on it. Before I could respond, he turned and walked back to the swarm of officers surrounding the Peterson house, leaving me standing alone on my doorstep. Who was that man? Was he connected to the Peterson's death? Putting everything together made a horrifying kind of sense. The man I had been seeing must have murdered the Petersons and had been pretending to live there. And just recently, the man must have just moved on from the house and left. I have no way to prove this, but logic screams a horrifying truth. Yesterday should have brought closure, but the guilt of not knowing more gnawed at me. The police investigation seemed to be at a standstill. They had no leads on who could be responsible. I wasn't able to get much sleep. Needing a break, I decided to grab breakfast at the local diner. As I pulled into the parking lot, letting the horses burn, of the diner, across the street from the diner was another neighborhood. Suddenly, I saw a person emerge from one of the houses. I climbed out of the car, not really thinking about who I had just seen. But as I headed toward the diner door, a prickling sensation crawled up my spine. This dude loves using the word spine.
He does.
A quick glance back confirmed my worst fear. There, standing on the porch of a random house across the street, was the same man. He seemed to be staring directly at me. The distance was too great to make out his facial expression, but I already knew it must have been a smile.
Oh, boy.
Scary.
Smiling.
Yeah, and if you report it to the police, that's the second murder house that you've been camped in front of.
So right.
Have fun with that.
And I still can't provide you a description of this man.
I don't know what he looks like. He's just got this crazy smile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see him every time I look in a mirror.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. This next one's you, Sam.
All righty. This one is titled, and yes, this is the title, I think my dorm is hanuted.
Hanuted.
I believe that's supposed to be haunted, but it is hanuted.
It's hanuted.
So let us see what's going on with the hanuted dorm room.
Mm.
So, dot, dot, for starters, I can literally see an old Civil War era graveyard from my dorm room. Literally.
How funny. I can figuratively see an old Civil War era graveyard from my window.
But yours is not hanuted.
Ah, that's true.
Ah.
Hanuted.
Hanuted, excuse me.
So have you guys heard that literally now can mean figuratively?
What?
Mm.
Yeah, they're interchangeable. Like if you say, I will literally burn your house down.
If I say that, I mean it.
So don't show up at my house with a can of gas and some matches or we're going to have a problem.
I think that's just standard procedure.
Yeah.
We're going to have a problem if that happens. Okay. Getting back to the story, but an important grammatical aside. I'm glad we covered that. So, the first day we moved in, my roommate had a really weird dream where she went out in the hallway at night and saw a woman dressed in a black gown standing on the other end of the hall staring her down. I do believe that's just called one of your dorm mates, but okay. We have both had multiple dreams similar to this since. Kind of weird, but explainable.
Mm-hmm.
Then we both started hearing each other's voices when we were completely alone in the room. I once woke up to the sound of her voice in my ear, only for her to be completely asleep on the other side of the room. That's your roommate fucking with you.
Wake up, bitch.
Exactly. And then pretending to be asleep. One time, my roommate was alone in the dorm. She left her phone on the desk and then went to the bathroom. She came back and her phone was on the floor on the other side of the room. The same thing happened to me, but with my student ID. It had somehow gotten to the other side of the room by her mirror, even though I hadn't been over there all day and had left it on my desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this roommate's mm-hmm. fucking with her.
Yeah, yeah. Completely. It's just
this is just dorm pranks.
Shameless dorm pranks. I had a dream about a little girl wearing old-timey clothing and pink ribbons in her hair. In the dream, she was holding my hand, and we were walking around, and I had this eerie feeling that the little girl wasn't alive. Mm. I woke up with full body shivers. Finally, the absolute last, all caps, last straw. My roommate and I were both sitting on our beds, doing homework, yeah, right. All of a sudden, my roommate's nose started gushing blood.
Mm. That's from all the coke that they did.
Yes. Pretty much. Bath salts.
Well, it's not in Florida.
Uh-huh. She starts getting up to grab a tissue when the top shelf part of her desk moved forward across the desk by itself and flipped over her chair onto the floor.
I hate when that happens.
So you rushed out and hit the desk, basically. The desk was up against the wall. There was literally nothing that could have pushed it forward. And randomly, that's where the story ends.
There was figuratively nothing that could have pushed it forward.
I see what you did there.
Oh, man.
Oh,
what a doozy.
Oh, yeah.
This next one is titled, Delivery Guy Screamed at Me Through the Phone and Kicked My Door.
Isn't that just called Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was Uber Eats.
It is.
Yes.
Definitely okay. is. No. I ordered a board game on Amazon last week. It got delivered today.
End of story.
And that's it. Next that was story. It. Okay. I hope everybody enjoyed that one.
Wasn't that scary?
That terrifying. Was scary as hell.
I was just sitting on the couch when I get a phone call. The guy doesn't speak my language, but I understand it's the delivery guy. I reply yes in the language he was speaking to. Are you home? I start to run downstairs because my intercom isn't working while the guy screams on the phone with me to open the door. He started kicking the building's front door, which made me stop a little, as I am a girl, and both my boyfriend and roommate were upstairs. But I would go downstairs by myself. When I got there, he had dropped the package on the front step and was standing far off. He looked distraught, and his eyes were red. He asked if the package was for me, and I nodded and grabbed the package and closed the door ASAP. I'm terrified that he might come back since he knows where I live. I don't know why he was acting the way that he was, but I ran away as fast as I could.
So basically, you took your time going down the stairs, and he was like, there's your package. Bye.
Yep. Update. I've reported him to Amazon. They will investigate the situation and reach out to me again if they need to. Thank you for your comments. I think it's good. I reported him. I just hope he doesn't remember where I live. Man, if he wasn't going to report you, or if he wasn't going to show up to your house and murder you in the night, he might when he loses his job.
All that needed at the end to make that the perfect story was, creepy Amazon delivery guy, let's not ever meet again.
Those fuckheads.
I hate that shit.
Yep. Ready, Sam?
I'm ready.
Mm.
All righty. This next one is entitled, I Think There's a Ghost in My College House. Help!
Mm.
Now, another drunk college kid story.
Yep.
I've been living in my college house for 2 years now.
Wait a minute. A college house?
Yeah, somebody's getting fancy all of a sudden.
Fucking dickhead.
Spoiled. Spoiled lad.
Fucking asshole.
All right. I've been living in my college house, estate, for 2 years now.
Where's that fancy lad music?
We all remember that memory. But ever since we had a new roommate move in, there...
Go on.
Oh. There have been unexplainable instances happening on the bottom floor where my and her rooms are. I'll blame it on the new person.
Mm.
Disrespect. The first instance that happened was when we were in the garage and we heard a loud whistle as if someone was trying to get our attention. That shouldn't be in parentheses, but okay. Mm. Immediately, we checked outside and in the garage to see if someone was there, but no one was around.
Ooh, scary.
Oh my,
scary
so far,
whistles.
It is terrifying, the wind in the trees. After this, there have been little instances, like hearing scratches under our beds at night. That's your roommate
That's the,
fucking
or
with
rats.
Or rats. Doors opening and closing randomly, and pictures being out of place because you move them when you are drunk.
Yes.
I was not 100% convinced until 2 days ago when my roommate swore she heard me ranting loudly on the phone at 3:30 in the morning, but I was very asleep by that point. Okay, you were drunk and screaming at the phone. She told me my lamp was on at 4 a.m. Wow, this roommate's keeping pretty close tabs on him. That's a lot of details for somebody who should be asleep at 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I had turned it off before going to bed. The scariest instance was last night. So far, these are not scary in the least.
Not even a little bit.
Not even disconcerting at all. The scariest instance was last night when I was falling asleep at 2 a.m., completely still and quiet, when the guitar in my room strummed. I immediately started screaming and shined my flashlight, and nothing was even remotely close to it that could have caused it to make any noise. Please help me find an explanation. Anyone with any advice or have gone through similar situations, please, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exclamation points, please comment.
Mm-hmm.
My advice for that woman is to make sure she stays on her meds.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ready for another one?
Yeah.
It's a quick one.
Yeah, do it.
Almost abducted.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
As a 10-year-old, I was playing with friends.
Damn.
That's After a while, it was time to go home for dinner. On my way, only had to walk 4 blocks. A car pulled up next to me and made a sudden stop. Then the driver's door window rolled down, and the driver said, "Come here, kid." I knew this was bad news, so I ran a block and a half to a friend's house, who thankfully answered quickly and let me in. Turns out that that car had been abducting children and was wanted. This led to terrifying dreams of people trying to abduct me, me running home, and my parents letting them take me. These dreams lasted for years.
So an alternate title of that story could have been Not Abducted.
Right? Not Abducted.
Okay, this next one's titled Creepy Encounter Near to My Home.
Oh my goodness.
So this happened about 21 years ago when I was around 9 years old, but I still vividly remember that day. I was with my grandmother and her dog, a big black Great Dane. We were walking on the side of a little country road in the middle of the woods, at 20-minute walk from my house. We used to come here for picking chestnuts. At a point, the dog went a little further into the woods, and I started to follow him. At the same time, a car arrived on the road and stopped. I looked at my grandma, and she made a sign to tell me to stay where I was. I saw her talking with the driver. He looked like a middle-aged man. From where I was, I couldn't hear exactly what they were saying, but I heard my grandma raise her voice. I saw the man open his car door. I was sure he was going to grab my grandmother. I was so scared. She screamed to me to run into the woods, but a big dark shadow ran into the guy. It was the dog. I think he heard the panic in my grandma's voice and that he understood there was danger. The guy got scared and quickly closed the car door and then got out. I asked my grandmother what happened. She just told me that he was a crazy man and that we should go home through the woods and stay away from the road. She also told me to stay close to the dog. Thankfully, we got home and didn't see the man again. From this day, we never went picking up chestnuts in this area again, and we stopped to do walkings around the house for many years, and we never went anywhere without a dog. I think that's also why I remember this day so precisely. Even if I never saw that man again, he led after him like a feeling of danger around our home for a very long time. A few minutes' encounter turned into years of fear. Fun fact! Despite his size, the dog was usually a completely harmless dog who got scared of everything, even cats or chickens. But that day, he was the bravest dog on earth.
Yes.
P.S. I hope my English is not too bad. It's not my native language.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
No. Nope. I had an inkling when I saw the chestnut tidbit, but...
Can I stick a little quick one in?
Please.
Easy now. This happened recently.
Good.
I've given my new number to a few people only, and it's so freaking weird of how many someone leaked it under an adult post on Facebook. What the hell? That ID which leaked my number was fake.
That's the equivalent, the modern day equivalent of call for a good time.
Right. I've the screenshots with me. People started calling me and texting me on WhatsApp and SMSed me. Texted me? Why don't they just say texted me? Asking and offering for sex. For
hello,
a meetup.
Hello, I am offering for sex.
Would you like good sex? For a meetup and sent me disgusting texts. Yeah, dick pics.
Yeah.
For at least about a week. I obviously blocked all of those numbers and I could not find about that person who made the fake ID. Frowny face. This happened to me way before in 2015 or 16 where someone leaked my now old number and my address. I would murder somebody. And people called me and were coming to my old house and shit.
Oh, no.
They were coming to their old house and shit. Jeez. The disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had to convince my parents to shift and buy me a new SIM. It's all just freaking weird, and I hate how people can do such disgusting things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the equivalent of call for a good time.
That's exactly what that is.
Back, oh man, probably around the same time frame as that story, there was a, we were doing the prank wars at an old job I was at, and the prank wars ended when somebody put one of the other prank war participants' number on Backpages
when Backpages was still...
Yeah, before it got shut down, as a gay escort. And, yeah, it was trouble. It was a whole bunch of trouble. I mean, we had moved people's cars with pallet jacks. We'd done all sorts of shit. And that was the end of it. That was when we decided it was a bridge too far because this guy just kept getting pictures of dicks. I mean, he thought it was funny, thankfully, but it was just... We won. That was it. Not me. I shouldn't say
Jack,
that.
Why did you do that?
I didn't do it. It was somebody else who I know listens to this show, and I know you're listening right now, you motherfucker. Hope you're enjoying your long-ass drive, but I won't say who. Anyway, Sam, this one's you.
This next one is titled The Amish Girl. This is my late grandma's story. My grandma, throughout the years, collected old antiques. Every room
redundant.
In her house, seriously, was full of them, from paintings to pottery and everything in between. Since she had all of these antiques, my grandma and her experienced a lot of paranormal things.
Oh, God.
Here we go. The doll's looking at me. This experience happened when she was in her room. One day, my grandma decided that she wanted to sleep with her head at the bottom of the bed in front of the AC unit she had in her window. You're just asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She fell asleep and was sleeping for a bit. Next thing you know, she heard this noise coming from one of her dressers. She opened her eyes and saw a little girl playing and dropping the dresser pail pole.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I'm assuming a handle?
Yeah, a bail pole?
Sure.
Jerry, is that a charming country term?
Not from my country.
Okay.
An old antique term?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of either. On we go.
I just say handle.
Yeah. That's
knob.
Usually the
knob.
The girl wasn't facing her when she was playing with the pole. Moving right along.
It sounds like you're saying pole. Playing on the pole.
Grandma quickly closed her eyes because she just couldn't believe what she had seen. She waited a few seconds before she opened her eyes again. When she opened her eyes again, the little girl was close to her face, staring at her. My grandma got really scared and closed her eyes again. Once again, just ignore it and everything will be fine.
Exactly.
Man, that is the theme of this episode.
That's my motto with the IRS.
Right there. Sure.
I think we have the show title now.
I think we do.
Just ignore it and everything will be okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so be it.
When she again opened her eyes, the little girl was gone. See? It worked.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a good motto.
I have it tattooed on my back for a reason.
Oh, yeah. My grandma told me that after she experienced that, she never slept on the bottom of the bed again. Because, yeah, that's why the ghost appeared.
Mm-hmm.
She also never saw this little girl again. I asked her what the little girl looked like. My grandma said she was wearing a bonnet with a long dress and long sleeves. Bonnet. My grandma actually had an old bonnet.
Of course.
That she had in one of the rooms of her house. I fully believe that the little girl used to own this bonnet, and that is why my grandma saw her in her room. And you can't convince her otherwise.
Mm.
My grandparents have had so many experiences in their house that I fully believe my grandma's story. I also have had some of my own experiences, too, pretty recently when I went over there with my daughter. I will post some of my own stories soon. If you like this one, keep an eye out for some more that I will post soon. And that's the end of the story.
No, it is not. Finish it.
Thank you for reading! Exclamation point, heart, and stars! Which we fully believe.
Yeah, totally believe her. This next one is titled, Creepy Woman That I Encountered When I Was Working for an International Airport.
Why international?
Isn't, yeah, it's kind of implied.
You could just remove it? International.
You really
creepy
can.
Woman that I encountered working for an airport.
Yeah.
There's a lot of redundancies with Reddit writing.
Yes.
As I always say, though, if they were good authors, I would hire them.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Anyway, I don't know exactly where to start, but years after this incident, I had a flashback with all the details while talking to my girlfriend on the phone and telling each other our memories. Oh.
Oddly strange time to recall it.
Mm-hmm. After hours of reading people's memories on Reddit, I have something to share. And goddammit, I can't wait to see your reactions.
Buckle up, listeners.
Yeah, this better be good after this fucking wind-up.
I'm going to put on a fresh diaper for this
one. There we go. I'm going to pour another whiskey.
This happened at the beginning of 2023. I, male, 22 at the time, was working as a terminal attendant at one of the biggest airports in Europe.
Biggest?
Heathrow?
Is
that in Europe?
Not anymore.
Britain. Does that count? It's not part of the EU anymore.
I believe Frankfurt is the biggest, but it's one of the biggest, not the biggest, as the person said.
That's what she said.
Okay, my job description was mostly to give directions to arriving and departing passengers in this airport as big as the city to solve their problems, to solve visa and passport-related problems. For some reason, I can't tell you exactly which airport it is, but you can probably guess from the details that I will give.
Frankfurt.
Okay. Since the airport is really huge and in a very key location, it is one of the transfer points for passengers coming and going from Asia, Africa, Europe, and America. That would be international, wouldn't it?
I believe so. That is what they call that.
Okay. So it was in the nature of my job to encounter very strange types of people and events.
The disrespect.
That's rude.
Those are international visitors to your city, sir.
This person has no cultural appreciation. No,
not in the least.
Most certainly a European. I was working 12-hour shifts, some days at night and some days during the day, and the area I was working in was determined by daily assignments. This incident happened during my 12-hour night shift on the transfer floor of the airport, the common point, where international passengers wait for passport control before picking up their luggage and where the passengers of all incoming international flights flow.
Why did that need to be in parentheses?
Well, I didn't know what that is.
And why did he have to say it at all?
Unnecessary details.
Yes.
Actually, when we work, we are supposed to wait at a fixed point when passengers don't specifically call for us. But it was 3 o'clock at night, and since flights and passenger traffic slow down at this time of night, I decided to patrol around a bit.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning, but okay.
Never do more than they ask.
Exactly.
That rookie mistake.
Mm. I left my station and went to the gate of the only arrival flight at that time of night. I decided to wait there in case passengers needed help when the gate opened.
So he could get a gold star.
Yes. After a while, the plane pulled up to the gate. The gate opened, and a lot of normal-looking people walked out of the gate and into the transfer center. Except that woman.
Disrespect.
That strange-looking woman who made me feel cursed by the cold January air.
I wonder if she was wearing a hijab.
Oh, God.
Nope.
She was a brunette in her late 20s, covered in dirt and torn clothes.
Nope, not a hijab.
Damn.
Her hair was missing in some places, and the hair that was there was rather unkempt and I think a bit burnt. When she saw me in my uniform with unusually large pupils, she walked up to me looking scared and confused. Excuse me, do you work here? I need help. Damn it. Of course you need help.
That's what you get for leaving your station.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you don't do extra stuff at work.
This is why you never come on the other side of the bar.
If he had done his job, this would have never happened.
Right?
Yep.
I wanted to take her arm because she was having trouble walking, but the smell emanating from her, don't judge, it wasn't a normal sweat smell, but it smelled like she was already dead.
Wow.
What the hell? Made my nose hurt, and I immediately abandoned the idea.
Aren't you a charmer?
Yeah. I sat her down on a seat reserved for passengers, and I stood opposite her and asked her in a calm voice how I could help her. I had a very bad experience. That's why I'm running away from there. I haven't eaten for days, and I think there was something in the water they gave me on the plane. Since I drank it, I don't feel well, and my mind is fuzzy. I didn't find what she was saying to be convincing. I thought she was in some kind of a mental breakdown because her gestures and intonations when she spoke were incredibly strange. But I was also familiar with the aviation rules, and I knew that something like this should be reported immediately to the police. When I told her this, she didn't like the idea, and she stood up and shook me by the shoulders and shouted, "No police! Never the police!"
Smart woman.
Yeah, seriously. I say that almost once an episode around here. Dude, she started laughing, looking up at the ceiling like there was something up there. The woman was making strange gestures with her hands, but her cheerful demeanor was broken by a sudden burst of crying. No police, they won't like it. They, the police, that's their job. Who said anything about cops? I'm talking about the people who did this to me.
This kid's not quick on the up and up.
Now this is a story about a human trafficking.
Yes.
That's my guess.
Nah. As she said this, she lifted up the burnt hair that had fallen on her forehead, and I saw one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life. Look, I've seen a lot of strange tattoos because of the environment I studied and lived in, but this was different. Right in the center of her forehead was a tattoo that looked like the barcode on the products in the grocery store with some numbers underneath. Here's an example of how the tattoo looked.
Wikipedia.
Neck barcode tattoo.
Yeah. Okay. At first, I thought it was just a strange fashion sense for aesthetic purpose, but her strange behavior and some documentaries I have seen made me think that this was probably used by human censored traffickers to mark people as slaves so that they could be easily identified and caught when they escaped. When she realized that I couldn't help her the way she wanted, she at least wanted to use my phone. Always with the phone. But I told her that she was not allowed to use my phone due to the airport security rules and that she could use the payphone if she wanted to. Of course, she didn't have any money with her, and I was not allowed to give her any money. Oh, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to break the fucking rules anymore.
Right. He wants to cut and run is what's going on.
Mm.
He doesn't want the Russian mafia to come after him.
Since she showed aggressive behavior towards me every time I insisted on talking to the police, I finally decided to do it secretly and brought her some food and water before going to the police.
So wait, he can give her food and water, but he can't give her a buck to call somebody?
Yep.
He's breaking the rules.
When I arrived at the police station on the transfer floor, the policemen were taking advantage of the calm of the rest of the night, or taking advantage of the calm of the night to rest. When I told them what had happened to me and pointed to the woman, they told me that she was one of the refugees coming into our country. Because my country hosts so many illegal immigrants and refugees, it is normal for them to think like that. All right.
Was this LAX?
It might have been. And that she was acting like this because she wanted us to let her enter illegally. They didn't take it very seriously, and unfortunately, I had to leave without any solution. When I went back to the woman, I realized that she had not touched the food and water that I had brought her and repeatedly refused to consume them with a fear in her eyes. I decided to have a conversation with this woman so as not to be too judgmental. When I asked her name, she gave me a very strange answer that I had never heard before. It was like a name from some ancient language. And even now, I don't remember exactly what she said.
Very old
ancient
language.
Ancient language.
Ancient.
This is code for when he was composing this story, he could not think of a good name for his woman.
Yeah, or he just couldn't remember. Juanita.
Juanita?
When I asked her where she came from and where she was going, she said she didn't know. To get this information, I took her passport and her boarding pass from her hand. This guy's kind of a terminal worker.
That's against the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but terminal workers are kind of dickheads.
True. I don't remember exactly, but she was coming from an Asian country, and her next destination was not written on the boarding pass, so her ticket was valid only until here. I decided to end our conversation, which was not very productive, and leave her alone to observe from a distance. I had to go back to my station for some paperwork and decided to take care of it in the meantime. Jesus. Later that night, around 6 a.m., my other colleague was due to arrive at the station to hand in my shift. I was going to exit through the door where they were going to enter the transfer center where we were.
Wow.
And before I left, I decided to stop by again on my way to see this strange female visitor. When I went up to her, she was holding a book in her hand. It was a book with old covers and yellowed paper, but I didn't understand what was written in it until she pointed at me and called me over. Even then, I didn't understand it. It was a book written in an alphabet that I don't know, in a language I didn't know. And I don't want you to think I was making it up, but it was a book with strange figures of people and other drawings. The woman pointed to one of the drawings and said, "This is how they do this." "They do what like this? I'm confused. Can you be a bit more specific?" When I said that, she shook her head from side to side, laughing. She had an expression, as if I wouldn't understand, even if she explained it. I told her that a friend of mine would be arriving soon in my place, and that if she had any problems or needs, she could contact them as she wished. I gave her directions to the shitter, where she could get her food, and to the police station and the ticket office.
The way you said that sounds like that's where she could get her food in the shitter.
Oh, yeah. After a few seconds of looking at my face, she thanked me in tears and took my hand in both of hers and looked me in the eyes. I didn't know exactly what had happened to her, but at that moment my heart broke, and I put my other hand over hers, and I nodded. My God, it was time to leave when my friend who was coming behind me to take my place in the terminal touched me, and I introduced them to the woman and secretly informed them about the situation. My friend told me that they were going to take special care of her, said goodbye, and I finished my shift for the day. When I woke up the next day, I texted my friend and asked them how she was doing. They told me that after I introduced them to her, they left to take care of another passenger and that they never saw her for the rest of the day. They said that when they asked the passport police and ticket offices, they told them that they were busy enough as it was and they didn't pay that much attention to people and brushed them off. I never saw this woman on my next shifts and I never heard from her again. Still gives me the goosebumps when I remember it. I would be interested in your comments on the incident, if there is anything I missed or that you want to ask me. Let's meet up in the comments.
Let's not.
Yeah, no thanks, dickhead.
Yeah, that sounds like a human trafficking story.
Sounds like a
made-up fairy tale.
A made-up version of a human trafficking story. You got another one, Jerry?
Of course. I think I died in a war that didn't happen.
For fuck's sake, dude. You pick some good ones.
I think I died in a war that didn't happen.
Me too.
The nightmares started a few months ago. The jumpiness too. Last 4th of July was really, in bold, fun. The thing is, I am not alone. My girlfriend sometimes wakes up screaming, raising her hands as if aiming a rifle at something. She's a school teacher and has never held a gun in her life. I hear other stories too. Homelessness and suicide are way up. The amount of young people I see just standing completely dead-eyed before coming to themselves and going about their day is way more common than it used to be. There are support groups. I am too embarrassed to go, but I know they exist. Most people are too scared to admit they go to them. I mean, what the hell would they even call them? A group of people that never served a day in their life sit in a room talking about how they're scared of the dark and loud noises? That sounds like everybody in Reddit.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That's another thing, the dark. I was never scared of it before. I sometimes go running at night when I can't sleep. I don't even need a flashlight anymore. Most people keep their lights on at night now. My girlfriend and I can't even sleep in the dark these days. We need to keep the lights on. Makes the sex more fun, I guess. What the hell?
This is a teenager.
Yeah. It's weird. I know this isn't the point, but I think it is connected. The first time I saw her, I knew I loved her. She felt the same, I guess, because she walked right up to me and asked if I was doing anything that night before we even traded names. Our first date felt like our 100th. Nothing about her surprises me, and there isn't anything about me she seems to not know. She is not the clingy type at all, but she freaks out when I don't answer her texts and calls.
That's the clingy type.
That is exactly the clingy type.
She once woke me up screaming. I had passed out face first on the couch and hadn't woke up the first few times she called out to me. She cries when she looks at me sometimes. We don't know why. The same thing happens to me. I saw some kid bagging groceries yesterday and started bawling on the self-checkout line. He looked at me like he knew who I was for a moment. His heels came together, and for a split second, I thought he saluted me like a Nazi.
What the hell? Son, you died on the wrong side of that war.
He looked surprised at himself and just scratched his head instead. I don't understand it at all. I dream about things in the dark. I dream about being dragged into the darkness by monsters and being turned into something like them. Sometimes I can still feel it inside me.
That's because you like fought on the wrong side of the war, soldier.
Like it is trying to get out again. As if it has done this countless times before.
Oh, my God.
Short but sweet. That was well worth it.
That was fucking schizo rambling.
Right?
What the hell?
Some dude tried to Nazi salute me in the grocery store. It scared me.
It does happen in the grocery store from time to time, but usually it's when they haven't gotten their way. Or when you refuse their EBT.
See,
it happens. It does happen. Jesus. This next one is titled, What Was He Holding and What Was His Intent? Me and my friends, both girls, both 13 at the time, took an evening stroll at a really dodgy part of town. Really stupid, I know. This was pre-2015. It was January and pretty dark outside. There were no people around, except for two blocks down where there was a bus stop and a 7-Eleven. As we pass a newly built apartment complex, we start heading towards the bus stop. Before I understood what happened, someone trips over my legs, falls face down onto the pavement, scratching himself, and drops something that rattles plastic metallic-y on the asphalt.
So this person just appeared out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Homeless man.
Tripped on her?
Mm-hmm. We both find ourselves staring at an adult man who starts screaming bloody murder, grasping the thing that fell out of his hand as he gets up and starts charging at us, telling us to get over here. We immediately start running towards the apartment complex. The door was unlocked, thank God. And we rush up the stairs and encounter a couple who are on their way out. We explain the situation to them and hold back tears, but the man doesn't follow us inside. The couple tried to calm us down and followed us outside, and no man was to be seen. He just vanished. The couple were in a hurry and decided to just leave us to get back home on our own. What the fuck else were they supposed to do? As we go towards the bus stop, really shaken up, we see the same man enter the bus that's about to leave. He looks really calm and put together, at least from the glance I got. His bus leaves, and we get home sometime later, not telling our parents about the situation, since we were scared they'd get mad, that we decided to walk in that area of town. It's been more than 10 years since then, and we both discussed this, as we really had no idea what happened. The man seemingly appeared out of nowhere, as we didn't hear him approach until he was about a few meters away, and there were no people around us to drown out the noise of him approaching. We don't know what he was holding in his hand that he dropped. All we heard was the weird rattling sound and saw something silver-looking. We questioned if it was a folding knife, but the memory is so foggy by now, and we didn't get a good look at it. I also don't know how I managed to trip him up either way, and he seemingly stopped chasing us after a few steps. At first, we thought I just accidentally made him fall as he started running towards the bus stop, but he came up behind me, and the angle he came from left several meters free from either side of me that he easily could have used if he had to bolt to the bus. I guess we both just decided to leave it, and it was just an accident. I still feel uncomfortable when I pass that particular part of town. The end.
Yeah, I think that would be a druggie.
Mm.
He dropped like his spoon or his pipe. That was the clanging in the silver.
Probably.
And then when they took off running, he like went in the bush, got his little fix on, and then stumbled his way on the bus.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Kind of a weak story either way.
Yeah. It's like they're just describing daily life in a big city.
Yeah, in a big city.
And not in Wyoming.
No.
We have meth heads. They just don't do the same things that you guys do out here.
Yeah, they have jobs with the sheriff's department.
Exactly. That's you want to be a sheriff, go do some meth, and you can get one job in Wyoming.
Mm. All right, so now we're going to come to a segment of the show that I greatly enjoy, and it's for a very specific group of people. Today, we're going to be talking about parasocial relationships. Parasocial relationships describe the one-sided connections that audiences form with media figures like TV characters or social media influencers. These relationships feel real and meaningful to the viewer or follower, but are not reciprocated by the creator, who is often unaware of the individual audience members. For creators, parasocial relationships can present several challenges. They may feel pressured to uphold the persona that has facilitated these connections, which can be emotionally exhausting and potentially lead to burnout. The perceived intimacy of these relationships can lead fans to seek out more personal information about the creator, sometimes crossing boundaries into privacy violations and/or harassment. Creators might face unrealistic expectations from their audience, resulting in disappointment and backlash if those expectations go unmet. This scenario can leave creators feeling as though they've personally let down their fans, even when making decisions for their well-being or content's direction. The effort to maintain parasocial relationships can also strain creators' real-life connections. Friends, family, and romantic partners may feel sidelined as creators invest time and energy into their online persona and audience engagement. Furthermore, the blurring of public and private selves, along with the relentless cycle of social media feedback, can pose significant mental health risks for creators. Anxiety, depression, and other issues may arise from the pressures of online visibility and audience expectations. Lastly, when creators cannot match the idealized image fans have built through parasocial interaction, it can lead to disillusionment. This disconnect not only affects the creator's mental health and sense of self, but can also impact their relationship with their broader audience, potentially leading to a decline in engagement and support. And that brings us to the stories. This first one's titled Long Parasocial Relationship. I'm in my very late teens, and I've had a parasocial relationship with a YouTuber for about 4 years. It varies in intensity, but it's never gone away. When I was 15, I discovered this YouTuber, and I was instantly obsessed and started watching every video he made or was in. I won't name him, but he's pretty well known. At the time, I was feeling really lonely because of the pandemic, and I think my brain just wanted or needed something to latch on to. He was one of the most attractive person in the world to me. He's very anti-parasocial relationship, which makes this even more embarrassing. He said before that he doesn't even understand why people would have parasocial relationships because his brain just doesn't work like that, which made me feel guilty. I knew early on how unhealthy it is to be obsessed with someone you don't know, but I also just can't stop thinking about him. I lost sleep over it. He's way older than me, but I keep thinking, what if there's a chance? I even started to dress like him and found myself wearing his favorite color a lot. On my old phone, I had a folder of maybe 200 pictures of him and screenshots linked to him. I remember watching a video when I was 16 and he mentioned having a girlfriend. I was actually upset, and I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole part of the next day. I felt so pathetic after this. He's the only internet person I've ever been attracted to. I've had similar obsessions, but less intense with other people, and fictional characters too. But a lot of these kind of motivated in a weird way. There's no motivation here. I wish there was a way for me to channel this into something worthwhile instead of wasting away, longing for something that I know realistically can't happen. The feeling is too addictive. I feel like if I ever got over this, I'll just become obsessed with someone else. Has anybody else ever felt like this? The next one is, I feel like a bad person. I try to ignore this little voice in my head telling me how cringe it is to pretend to be in a relationship with somebody who just can't be with me anymore. I feel like I disrespect him when it's the last thing I want. He has been my support, and I just very, very grateful. Just a simple thanks wouldn't be enough to express it. I love him. I really do.
That first one that you read, I wonder if that was Eminem.
It could have been. I know this is my way to cope after my partner were abused, and it's pretty much a trauma response. I'm always justifying me with bullshit when there isn't any justification. Even if he really is what keeps me sane right now. Now I feel bad for writing about him. Whatever. I felt like shit today, and I just wanted to vent. Same person. Next story. More venting. Ugh, I hate being so obsessive like this. It hurts so much. Like, why do I start shaking at the fucking thought of him? Holy hell, and then I can't stop myself from gushing to everybody about him because he lives rent-free in my brain, and it's so embarrassing. Like none of my other parasocial relationships, there's a lot throughout my lifetime hurt this fucking much. Why is this one the strongest for me for some reason?
Is this all the same author?
Those two were. This one's called Parasocial Relationships Are Ruining My Life. Hi, this is just a little rant about how parasocial relationships have completely destroyed my mental health recently. I've seen similar stories here, so I thought this would be a good place to post. Basically, I've had relationships like this throughout my entire life. I didn't know there was a term for it until recently. But my most recent one is completely destroying me. About a year ago, I became obsessed with an actor who's gotten pretty popular recently. He's the same age as me, basically my dream man. And I've convinced myself that I'm in love with him and that he's the only person for me. I spend all my time keeping up with his life, watching his shows and movies. He has an alleged girlfriend, though he's very private, so it's not confirmed, who I constantly stalk on social media and compare myself to. He always follows a lot of Instagram models who I regularly compare myself to. The thing is, I'm pretty much the opposite of this man's type, and I spend nearly every waking moment thinking about how I'll never be good enough for him, when I realistically, I'd never even have a chance with him. My thoughts have become consumed by thoughts that I'll never be pretty enough, skinny enough, etc. It's gotten to the point where I spend all my day crying over it, and I can't eat or sleep. Like, I wake up crying, end up going down a rabbit hole on Instagram, and then cry myself to sleep. I've even gone as far as to plan a trip to his country or city, which has always been on my bucket list, even before I knew who he was. For the next year, I keep seeing people on TikTok posting about seeing him in public all the time, and I've convinced myself that if I'll go, I'll be able to see him too. I understand how psychotic that sounds. I've always struggled with anxiety and depression, but this situation has made it infinitely worse. Ever since I graduated college and moved away, I lost contact with all my friends to the point I literally go to work and sleep. And I think that's why this particular relationship has become so distressing to me. In a way, I'm trying to fill that void by basically giving my life to a man who has no idea that I exist. It's scary, because I saw a post where the girl attempted to take her own life over a similar situation, and I could see myself very easily going down that same path over this. Again, I know this sounds completely psychotic. I just needed to get this off my chest, because I could never bring myself to talk to someone about this. Thank you all for your time.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it is. That last one was kind of a bummer. Well, they're all kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I genuinely feel bad for these people that get into that kind of situation.
Yeah, it's sad.
I still don't want them to come to my house.
Right. It's definitely sad. And that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Guys, thank you very much for listening. It was kind of a long one. The last few episodes have been kind of long ones, but hopefully you guys enjoy it. Thank you guys very much for coming in today. Sam, Jerry.
You're very welcome.
You are welcome.
Where can we find you guys?
You can find me at Instagram.com/scallywag_writer, or you can go to samstoutman.com.
Jerry, where can they find you?
Oh, I am on Instagram at the_scary_Jerry. That's scary with two R's, Jerry with two R's. See what I did there? And on wherever they find their podcasts, you can find my shows, Demented Darkness and, for the time being, Dark Side of the Nerd. They're getting ready to combine here pretty quick, so that will be changing. But for now, that's where they are. I do want to take a minute real quick to say happy birthday to a mutual listener that we have. Her name is Samantha St. John. Happy birthday. Hope everything is going well out there.
Happy birthday, Sam.
She is kind of in charge of our Facebook page for the network. By the way, since you never plug it, I'm going to. Everybody that's on Facebook, go search The Anthology of Horror Network and follow it, where hopefully we will do a better job of posting new episodes and other weird internet shit we find.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's it.
And if you guys want to follow me, of course, you can do so by going to Instagram.com/DukeLandis17. If you want to vote, if you want to have a say on the upcoming episodes that we're going to do, sometimes I run polls. I don't always, but sometimes I do when the creative fancy seems to elude me. So if you want to help me pick out the next episode, you can do so when I post the poll on Instagram. And check out the merch store. I have stuff up there. Jerry has stuff up there. It's aohpmerch.com. Thank you guys very much for coming in. It's good to have you here. Jerry, I hope you're having fun in Los Angeles. And to all of you listeners, until next time, stay spooky.